Welcome to the Oakland County, Michigan Government News and Information Podcast, featuring topics of interest to people who live, work, and play in Oakland County.
Hunting season is currently upon us. Each year, men and women journey off to their favorite hunting sites to share time with their friends and enjoy the outdoors. Oftentimes, we hear of tragic accidents that occur because of simple precautions and care were not being used. I'm Pam Zawissa, and today we are joined with Sheriff Michael Bouchard, who is going to talk to us about what we can do to stay safe while hunting this season.
There's a number of things they can and should do. Obviously, they, if they're under certain ages, obviously you have to have a hunter safety certificate. If you're grandfathered, like many of us, older hunters, then you don't have to have that certificate. But it's important you should have the knowledge and the training, I think, in any event. So make sure you kind of go over some of the basic ideas and how you're to proceed when you're in the field. The four biggest mistakes that usually end up in incidents where someone's hurt or injured in hunting would be first hunter judgment, where you know they don't follow some of the cardinal rules. They mistake someone or something moving for game. Number one, target identification. 100% sure of what you are looking to fire upon and exactly what kind of position that is in relative to other things in the area. Is it at the top of a hill? Where does that round go if you miss? Is it, you know, anywhere around any dwellings? You have to have setbacks of minimum distance 450 feet, 150 yards from dwellings. So you need to know location and have good target identification. Secondarily, safety rule violations. Anytime that muzzle is pointed in a direction, you should presume that weapon is hot, that it could discharge. Accidents can and do regularly happen even to very serious and seasoned hunters or sportsmen and women. So always try to keep that in a safe direction at all times. In fact, just comical but not, recently there was a story that was in the paper just fairly recently where a man was out bird hunting, and he laid his shotgun down on the ground to climb under a fence. And as he did so, his bird dog stepped on the shotgun and discharged it and shot him in the leg. Shot by dog. It sounds a little comical, but nonetheless, a very grave injury, and it could have been fatal. So, you know, be aware of what you're doing with that weapon at all times. Oftentimes people, you know, go to climb a fence and they fall and it discharges. They're climbing out of a tree and it discharges. That shouldn't be carried in that fashion. It should be in a safe position, you know, proverbially not around chambered when you're doing something where the possibility of you falling or the weapon falling are in the realm there. So lack of control is the third point, and we've touched on that as it relates to having full and complete control over that weapon and the direction the weapon's pointed at all times. And then mechanical failure. If you fail to do some basics when you take that weapon, if you haven't used it, let's say, since last hunting season, take it out of storage, check the weapon over completely, stem to stern, as they would say in a boat. But in this situation, you know, make sure the barrel's clear of any obstructions. Make sure you may have a light coat of oil in the weapon, that it's fully and properly functioning, that all the mechanisms are moving freely and unfettered by anything that may you know, be slowing its progress or process. That, again, make sure the barrel's clear so you don't have an explosion if you chamber around and discharges and there's an obstruction. So really give your weapon a safety check and a once-over. So those would be probably the four biggest ones. But again, you know, as you look at positioning, one of the biggest danger points is ascending or descending from an elevated platform. And that applies whether you're bow hunting or whether you have a firearm. So I think some 70% of the falling injuries occur during that transition, that movement. And then, of course, if you're in an elevated platform, it's always a good idea to use a safety harness, so that if, you know, for whatever circumstance you lose your footing and you begin to fall, you are saved from that fall. A number of hunters die every year from a fall from an elevated platform, a tree stand, or some such situation. So, and the other thing as it relates to those, inspect those every year. You shouldn't really be leaving those up year-round, but a lot of people do on their own property. Obviously, you can't do that on public land, but on your own property, you can leave those up, but that's a safety issue, so inspect them. Make sure all of the webbing and all of the strapping and the chains that to bind it to a tree or however it's attached are still firm, not rusted, not frayed. So check your things over before you begin to use them, the same way you would kind of do a checklist on other kinds of situations. And then know the rules as it relates to moving about, the transportation of the bow or the firearm to and from the field. If it's in a vehicle, it's got to be unloaded or in a case. And make yourself aware of the rules that, you know, apply so that you have a fun and enjoyable time and not one that either ends up with a tragedy or a ticket from a conservation officer.
Can you tell us some safety tips for using a firearm?
Absolutely. The things that we talk about, again, is to always make sure that the muzzle is pointed in a safe direction. That's first and foremost because, again, I've been a range instructor, a firearms expert, I'm always constantly on the guard. And I've seen other people that have the same qualifications accidentally discharge a weapon and stunned. I didn't think there was a round in it. I was cleaning it, or I thought the safety was on, or, you know, you'll hear a million different excuses. The bottom line is always point that muzzle in a safe direction, and you won't have to be afraid of a consequence. Treat every weapon as if it's loaded. Because, again, I've heard that one a million times. I didn't think it was loaded. Well, presume that it is. And if you hand a firearm or a weapon to someone, visually and physically inspect it yourself. And when you hand it to them, they should repeat the process. And then they should say thank you before you release the firearm so there's a double inspection and safety rules are applied. Know what your target is, as we talked about, target identification, critically important, and what's beyond your target. Again, we talked about that. That's very, very important. The other thing you see all the time with military and with law enforcement is when we're in a situation where we might be called upon to discharge a weapon in defense of ourselves or others, you see that the weapon's at the ready, but the finger's straight out until it's time to engage. And the same would apply in hunting. Keep your finger outside that trigger guard until it's the moment in time when you're going to engage that target. Then you can slide your finger into the trigger to begin the actual discharge process. Always unload it, when it's not in use and it's going to be left, and secure it in a safe fashion, especially if you have kids in the house. Make sure that that's very much one of your rules. Again, careful activity that you're doing, running, jumping, climbing. Those are really, really hazardous moments in time, and you shouldn't be doing those with a loaded weapon ready to discharge. If at all possible. As I mentioned, store them in a safe and secured capacity is always important, especially with young children around. And then, of course, it goes without saying, but needs to be said sadly, don't consume alcohol or drugs when you're going to be around or utilizing firearms. It's just a recipe for disaster. So, you know, you have to be responsible, know your safety skills, your kind of rules, the hand-on things. Use that knowledge, and in the end, it'll help you enjoy the time and stay safe.
What are some of the laws that hunters need to know?
Well, there's a host of laws. We mentioned some of them as it relates to moving or transporting weapons and firearms during the hunting season. In a vehicle, it has to be unloaded, and in a case, you can't have it at the ready, if you will. When you're afield in the firearm season, you need to be in orange above the waist that's visible from all directions 360 degrees. So you have to have some orange on so people can see you moving and readily identify, you know, the fact that it's a person moving. Typically, you know, you have to look in the area where you are because there's slight variances because we are such a large state on actual time when daylight and sunset occurs. But, those are part of the rules that you need to abide by in terms of when to take harvest an animal, and then immediately tag that animal after it's been harvested with an appropriate legal tag of yours. And understand, too, that, you know, trespassing laws are very specific and well-enforced in this state. If you shoot and strike a game animal and it crosses onto someone else's property, you don't have the legal authority to go on someone else's private property tracking that game without permission. So be aware of that, and prudence is always a good thing. If you know where the landowner is and you can obtain permission and certainly make them aware that you're going to be entering on their property, that tends to deconflict, if you will, certain situations that sometimes arise. every year. And then, of course, we talked about safety zones. You can't discharge at game within 450 feet of a dwelling or about 150 yards. And then in Michigan, we have the rifle line, as it's called. It's somewhere around the mid-lower Michigan, a little higher. Everything above that, it's okay to use a rifle, and below that is a shotgun. So those are some of the kind of basic rules of thumbs that people ought to be aware of. And then obviously have a license for the game you're seeking, and have it available to utilize as soon as the game is harvested.
Do you think it's essential for hunters to enroll in a safety course?
I think it's a great idea, because even if you're, as I mentioned, experienced or seasoned, sometimes, you know, new ideas, technologies, tips come aboard. I know that in my days when I was a young police officer, I was taught a certain protocol for, let's say, entering and searching a room. Well, that's changed. They actually have come up with safer ways to do it and much more advanced techniques. And so I went through a thing myself a couple of years ago, and it was totally different than when I started police work. So, you know, as those kinds of new tips and new ideas and new technologies are learned, it's not a bad idea to make sure you stay abreast of them, whether it's through a formal class or not, or reading or talking to someone. It's a good idea because, you know, as they say, the life you save may be your own.
A lot of hunters use the off-road vehicles to get to their favorite hunting site. What are some of the useful tips for using these vehicles?
Well, the same thing that we talked about with a weapon, you should do the same kind of thing with your ORV, your off-road vehicle. You should check it over top to bottom to make sure it's in safe, fully functioning condition, that the tires are good, the brakes are good, the lights are solid, that you've got enough gasoline, the engine and everything is in sound repair, wiring's good. You know, I'm not saying tear it apart, but give it a once-over look, especially if you're going to be traveling a distance because you may be stranded. And if you're a long way from, you know, other people, or it's very distant and cold, could be snowing in Michigan, depending on where you're going, you may find yourself stranded in a bad situation. So check it over top to bottom before you take it out. Make sure everything's squared and legal. Obviously, one of the legal things is if you're on public land, it has to be licensed with the Secretary of State as an off-road vehicle, and there's a certificate sticker that's affixed to the back that has to be visible. Know where you're going. Have an idea where you're going, and leave that either with someone or tell someone so that they know your route, they know your estimated time of arrival or return, so that if something, for whatever reason, you don't turn up, they know where to begin to search. And we searched for a hunter just recently, unfortunately, in Oakland County for, oh gosh, day and a half. He was a bow hunter and turned up missing. And it took us quite a bit of time to find him because he was not at his stand, and he was wearing camouflage. We ultimately found him, but it took a great deal of time, and he had unfortunately passed from probably a heart attack. But had he been maybe injured, those minutes ticking away are really, really vital. And so it's important people know where you're going and approximate time you're going to return, and have an idea where to go if that doesn't, in fact, follow that path. Also, it's a good idea if you can to have either a map or one of the tiny portable GPS in case you get turned around or lost, and know how to read a map or a GPS to bring yourself out of a situation. Have some basic things with you, a little survival kit, a little water, first aid, flashlight, some of the basic tools or things you may need to, you know, get on for a night or two. And then preferably, if you can, I mean, obviously, if you're hunting, especially in the bow season, you're going to want to be alone. But prefer, you know, if you can't have someone with you, we suggest, you know, you always ride, have ATVs in pairs, again, so if one breaks down or whatever. But if you can't, again, make sure people know where you're headed and what your plan is. And know the terrain, too. You know, we've seen a number of tragedies where people are driving along and don't really know what's the coming around the bend. It could be an old farm barbed wire fence that's right about at the wrong height, and they drive into it, or a tree down, or, you know, it could be a vastly changing grade, a hill, rocks, in a path. So, you know, you have to be aware of all that as you're traveling. Know your terrain and change your speed and your traveling kind of methodology, if you will, based on what's immediately coming, and if you don't know it, slow down. And then also understand that many of the laws that apply to the highway drunk driving, etc., very much apply to ORVs. And you can, in fact, be arrested for drunk driving on an ORV, and also know that there are age restrictions as it relates to ORVs, that you have to be 12 to 15 years old at least and under direct supervision, and have a safety certificate on your person if you're in that age bracket. Because about 40% or more of the ORV deaths are under the age of 16. So very much like cars, new drivers are less experienced, and emergency arises, they don't react quickly or well enough, and you have a tragedy. So our young people are especially vulnerable. Like I said, 40% of the fatalities occur on young people under the age of 16 on an ORV. And know that no one under the age of 16 can drive the older versions. They really don't make them anymore, the three-wheelers, because of the propensity to tip on a turn. So, you know, no one understands the ORV laws. There's more than that, obviously. I'm just kind of giving you a brief kind of description of some of the highlights, but understand and know those before you climb on. So I think all of those are real important. When you come up to a road or another path, slow down and stop. Just like you treat it like a stop sign, because somebody could be coming the other direction. We had a fatality of somebody very close to this county on snowmobiles, where two snowmobiles traveling in different directions struck each other. And golly, that's just been such a tragedy for the family and the community, and we don't want to see something like that repeated on any kind of vehicle, whether it's a snowmobile or an ORV. So slow down, stop, look both ways, make sure you can have good visual lines if you're approaching any other kind of intersection or other point where somebody else may be driving. If it's a road, again, stop and then cross it in a perpendicular fashion, so you're crossing the road as quickly as possible and as safely as possible.
Does the Sheriff's Office offer any safety classes for off-road safety?
We teach, you know, almost all of the safety courses as it relates to enjoying Michigan's outdoors. You know, we teach water safety, hunter safety, you know, ATV. Part of all of those kinds of activities are something that we do as an outreach to try to help people, again, enjoy our outdoors and our sports that are available in Michigan, but do it in a safe way so that they come home with memories and not sadness.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Sheriff Bouchard.
Sure. And my best to everyone out there for, you know, what's very much a tradition in Michigan. Some 800,000 so men and women are going to take to the field here shortly in firearm season, and many of them are already there in bow season, muzzleloader after that. So enjoy, be safe, and good luck.
To get more information about the safety tips and courses offered by the Sheriff's Office, please visit their website at www.oaklandsheriff.com. For everyone listening in, we'd like to thank you for spending this time with us. We hope that you've learned more about how to stay safe while hunting the season. If you'd like to make a comment on this podcast or make suggestions for a future podcast topic, please send an email to podcast@oakgov.com.
This has been another Oakland County, Michigan Government News and Information Podcast produced by Oakland County e-Government.